Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hi, this is Belinda. I'll be taking calls this afternoon with regards to issues that you might have had or incurring at the moment with regards to the legitimacy of online reviews and online stores. And now we'll be speaking to Amor Burger-Smit, who is the Director of Competition Law and the Head of Data Privacy at Worksmen's Attorneys. Good afternoon, Amor. How are you?
Afternoon, Belinda. I'm well. I hope you're well as well.
Yes.
Afternoon to the listeners.
Thank you so much for being with us today. I have to say I'm a bit shell-shocked after having our last guest on the show, basically saying that we pretty much are all targets. And we're very restricted in terms of what we can do to prevent being targets of ransomware and phishing expeditions. So legally, what is our recourse?
Sure, Belinda, this is such a heavy topic.
Right.
Because, you know, we often look at the law and think the law should provide answers to all our ills and troubles. But we live in a world where we actually have moved everything we do into cyberspace.
Right.
And even though we do have laws that deal with theft and fraud and corruption and all of that, and even though those legal principles apply to cyberspace or crimes committed in cyberspace as well, the reality is a lot of these cyber criminals, and then if we deal with online retailers as well, they're not in South Africa.
Right.
And the question then is, you know, can the South African law apply to a company that is somewhere else in the world? And herein lies the problem and the conundrum, that extraterritorial application or inability to apply law to companies outside of South Africa, or to actually, once you find a cyber criminal, can you apply the South African legislation?
Right. And what is the general consensus in terms of that? I mean, have people reported these issues? Are they being dealt with? Are there facilities where consumers can report these issues to, aside from laying a complaint at the police?
So, you know, if we think about cybercrime,
yes,
our cybercrime legislation is very robust. We can't, as South Africans, say we've got a poor piece of legislation if it comes to the cybercrime legislation.
Right.
And yes, it provides that we can lodge a complaint and lay a complaint with the police. Now, that, I think, leaves everyone cold, because you immediately think the police have got so much to deal with. How on earth are they going to get to cyber criminals as well and to deal with cyber criminals?
Right.
Now the question is whether we can work out whether South African law does have jurisdiction or the regulators have jurisdiction.
Right.
And that is, to a large extent, dependent, if we think about the information regulator that deals with breaches of privacy, whether we can apply the legislation to companies, whether we can build a link to them in South Africa. You know, we can look at this and we can say our Consumer Protection Act gives us all the comfort and makes us feel warm and fuzzy that if we shop online, that, you know, the same principles apply.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the question is, do those principles apply to companies in foreign jurisdictions? And therein lies the problem, because our Consumer Protection Act does not have extraterritorial application.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are principles in law, and we talk about a Peregrini. That is a company that doesn't have a jurisdiction in South Africa, and whether our courts can actually enforce an order against those companies. And the best regulator we can look at the moment that's made the biggest strides in relation to enforcing the law on companies outside of South Africa, or companies that do not have a head office in South Africa, is actually the Competition Commission. They've made strides in some of the litigation. But this, Belinda, is a very, very tricky actually scary area for
right.
any consumer out there.
Right. Right. So that's my concern. And the thing is, you know, I don't think as a consumer in this area we're being, what's the word?
We're not aware,
Brenda.
That's the problem. Because what we do is we log on to a website, we're excited, we quickly want to shop. And what we don't do is we don't read those terms and conditions and we don't read the policies. And therein lies the what can I call it? I don't know. The not
loophole.
The problem. They exactly. Therein is the therein we get ourselves caught up in a situation. Because those terms and conditions will also explain to us which country's law applies.
Right.
And we need to know and we need to be aware of it. You know, as a privacy lawyer and as a cybercrime lawyer, I always say, even to my own children, read the privacy policies, go read the terms and conditions. And this is the biggest duty we owe ourselves,
right.
each of us owe ourselves, is to go and read those terms and conditions, and not just to engage with companies.
Right. Amor, could I ask you to stay on the line with us while we go for an ad break, please?
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Belinda here again in your Consumer Corner. Right now we're chatting with Amor Berger-Smith, who is the Director of Competition Law and the Head of Data Privacy at Worksmen's Attorneys. We are busy covering the legal aspects of online shopping from the consumer's point of view. Welcome back, Amor. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Belinda. Thank you.
So, Amor, is there no international legislation that protects one as a consumer internationally?
Belinda, there isn't a legislation that we as South Africans can rely on that applies throughout the world.
Right.
And, yeah, so, and that, you know, the law is such an interesting field,
yes.
You know, to think about it, because there are, you know, international laws and international treaties, and it becomes very involved. But I think in the area of cyber law,
yes.
and artificial intelligence, great strides are being made internationally to think about this, because this brings to light the fact that we live in a global economy.
Yes.
Long gone are the days where it's just brick and mortar. We now engage seamlessly over the borders of countries, and it's so easy to do it.
Right.
And we need to think, how do we actually then, as a global society and global trade, how does that impact what we do? But each country have got their own consumer protection legislation that applies to the specific country.
Right. So can I ask you from the legal perspective? I know we all get caught up in the websites and we're not really present when we're doing our purchases. So from a legal aspect, you know, what would you advise the consumer to do, like to be aware of, and what are our rights? Let's say there's an issue in terms of banking, as we were discussing earlier. You know, are we as the consumer liable? You know, where does the line get drawn in terms of our liability and the liability of the provider?
Yeah, Belinda, I'm sorry, I didn't listen to your previous slot.
My apologies.
No, not at all. I can just guess that, you know, part of it would relate to online payments that have been
yes.
made to fraudulent suppliers
right.
or cyber criminals. And, you know, this becomes, again, an interesting point for us to note. What is the security settings you have activated on your banking profile? How do you approve that payment, electronic payment, to actually take place? A big warning, and I think, you know, especially for people that are busy and especially for older people,
right.
you know, never ever share your personal information online. Your bank's not going to ask for your PIN. The bank's not going to ask telephonically for your profile number. That's not how it works. Therefore, the banks have got massive warnings and cyber warnings and cyber fraud warnings all the time to remind people, we will not phone you to ask you this personal information to be submitted to us and be provided to us over the phone.
Right.
You know, cyber criminals often phone people, and the immediate thing that they create is fear, urgency and fear. And they immediately present it as there's a threat. Someone is trying to put a payment through your credit card.
Right.
And we are here to help you and assist you to stop it. Can you just quickly read me your number and give me that 3-digit PIN at the end of your card?
Right.
Or, you know, emails going through that you've won this massive prize.
Yes.
And the moment you disclose that information willingly and you approve it, you cannot turn around and hold the bank or the financial institution liable for it. But there are instances where indeed, you know, some swaps take place in an unlawful manner. And that's a big threat in South Africa. And there we need to look at the mobile network operators and the financial institutions, who's actually liable for that crime being committed, and that you need to analyze. So, you know, if you ask me for advice, the reality is we need to be vigilant all the time, because the cyber criminals, it's rife, and it's not like we can sit here and think, oh, it's only cyber criminals out of African countries up in the north that attacks us.
Right.
We've got cyber criminals in South Africa. And what they do is, this is how they make money. They will attack you and they will try to gain access to your bank account, to your finances, to your credit card, to actually steal from you.
Right.
Let alone, you know, on the other hand, where we've got problems, you've bought a product and you don't want the product or it's not suitable, and how do you return it? Because then you have to analyze all those terms and conditions of the company to understand how that takes place.
Right.
But this is a massive problem that not only South Africans face. This is not a unique South African problem.
Right.
It's a global problem. But Belinda, I think what our listeners need to realize, and then there's an Interpol report that actually lists all of this. South Africa ranks the sixth highest target country for cyber criminals.
Sure.
So we need to be aware that we are a target at all times, and therefore we need to also protect ourselves. We cannot, as consumers, walk away or turn our back on the fact that we've got a personal responsibility as well.
Right. Amor, I cannot thank you enough for your time as well as your advice. And thank you so much for being with us on the show. And we will definitely take heed of these warnings. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Keep well.